Well, it's wonderful to be with you today. And I, like most, am heading into the Christmas period, and I'm trying to do that with the brakes on, being mindful of making room for the Christ child. And I want to talk today to you about harnessing hope this Christmas and some of the ways that we can do that, some of the practical ways. Like most people, Christmas evokes all kinds of emotions in me. There is the grief of loved ones lost during Christmas's past, and anxiety about how to handle those difficult relationships at family get-together, and even some of the difficult Christmas jokes. But on a more serious side, though, there can be a feeling of constriction as we work out what to attend to and what to leave until the new year. The balance between FOMO and FOGO, fear of missing out and fear of going out. There is, however, one thing I want more than anything. I want to be filled again with the miracle and the mystery, the birth of a new baby. And this requires me to take time and focus and to actually prepare. The joy of making up a room. I've got Gigi coming home and I'm enjoying making up the room as the rest of the family are. There's preparation involved with that. Because when I focus on the meaning of Christmas, I am filled with hope. Generally, around a new baby, there's loads of joy, loads of hope, loads of chatting, loads of making room. We have to make room in our hearts about how things will be different, and room in our homes, the practical changes that need to be made. Perhaps we need to set up a nursery, or we may even need an extension or a kennel if it's a fur baby. We invest in our future hope. So how do we find new hope in our hearts? Well, number one, we must learn to follow wisdom. Proverbs 24, verse 14 says, "Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Wisdom happens when our knowledge is tried and tested. We may know something, but until it becomes distilled in us, it does not become wisdom. Wisdom often comes in an aha moment. We often call this an epiphany. Something just drops deep inside us and it makes sense. An epiphany is a sudden realization about the meaning of something. It usually feels inspired from an intuitive place that is charged with wisdom. We feel it emotionally in our hearts and physically in our bodies. It has a visceral nature to it or an outcome from it. Maybe you have experienced some of these during the last 2 years, the need to care for yourself, the need for strong relationships, exercise, enjoying the simple things, focusing on the small wins we have in our daily lives. I had an epiphany 1 year when I realized that I hadn't made a cake for Jesus, whose birthday it was. So now every year we have a birthday cake. We make room. And the carol says, "Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and angels sing." There is a joining of heaven and earth when we make room. In the story of the birth of Jesus, the epiphany is associated with the wise men and their visit to Jesus. The wise men studied astronomy. They were guided by the Star of Bethlehem that heralded the newborn King of the Jews. Wisdom teaches us to trust and hope, to not grow weary. It is the voice inside of us that is guided by the Spirit and confirmed by Scripture and will direct us to goodness and to truth. The story of the Magi inspires hope that if we lean into our learnings, our epiphanies, we will, like the wise men, arrive at the place where we're meant to be with a greater understanding and knowledge of the goodness, faithfulness, and love God has towards us, the importance of caring for ourselves and for caring for others. You may have had an aha moment, a light bulb moment, and because of this, you have changed the way you do things, like my birthday cake illustration. I'd like to encourage you to think about how you can apply this. Amelia spoke a few weeks ago about the loving attributes of God and how they give us hope. How does knowing the goodness of God change the way you look after yourself or how you feel about others? Secondly, say yes to the mystery. Perhaps the greatest story of all, the greatest story of courage ever told, was Mary's three-word response to the angel Gabriel when he explained to her that she would bear the Son of God. "Let it be," she said, "as I am the handmaid of the Lord." With great humility, she opens herself to God's will and submits to His plan, even though she knows none of the details. By uttering, "Let it be," she welcomes and initiates the greatest mystery of all times, the Christmas story and the arrival of God into human history. Emmanuel, God amongst us, God who gets amongst us. We are not alone. Mary's response also generates hope for all believers that by saying yes to God, we participate in the Christian story and find meaning that sustains us. We enter the mystery and become part of the miracle as we recognize God in our midst and show His love to others. How can we apply this? Well, let's have a look. During the Christmas season, are you showing courageous love to others? And how can you do this? And how can you become more like Jesus? Thirdly, I'd invite you to believe in the supernatural. Recognize you are not alone. You have a team, the Trinity, and God's ministering angels. What does the Bible say about ministering angels? Well, there is a scripture that gives great insight into ministering angels and what their responsibility is. It's in Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? The word minister means to be a servant. So if you are to define what a ministering angel is, it is an angel who serves. The question is, who do they serve? When you look at this verse in Hebrews, the answer is clear. In this verse, we need to focus on three words, sent to serve. Angels do not serve at our command, so we don't control them or direct them, much less talk to them. Angels are sent to serve, meaning they take their orders and direction from God Himself. The reason they serve those who will inherit salvation is because they are following God's command to serve them. We are simply the beneficiaries of angels who are following God's directions. Next, we find that angels were sent to rescue. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Pretty secure, you would think. Then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 7. In this instant, the responsibility was to rescue Peter in answer to the prayers of God's people. The angel came and freed him from prison. Secondly, we find that angels are sent to protect. So Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. May God send his angel," and he shut the mouth of the lions. "They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in the sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." That's in Daniel chapter 6. You can read about that. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, God sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lions and to keep Daniel safe. Their job or their service in this instant was to be a protector. I don't know if Daniel saw the angel or if the angel recognized God, if Daniel recognized God sending him because the lion's mouth were shut. Either way, God used an angel to protect Daniel. How can we apply this? Well, I'd invite you to contemplate how you have witnessed in your spirit an angel being sent to shut the mouth of lions and bring protection to you. Ask yourself in this moment, is there something you need protection from, body, soul, or spirit? Thirdly, angels were sent to offer assistance. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Matthew 4, verse 11. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after fasting 40 days and nights, the Bible says angels attended him. This word means to offer assistance, to aid, to serve, even to offer food and drink. In other words, ministering angels will come to bring the type of assistance we need in the moment. So, how do we apply this? Well, have we been aware of supernatural assistance? And if not, why not ask God to give you the grace to be aware of Him at work in some of the more difficult areas of your life? One may come to mind immediately, or you may need to spend some time with this. So you ask, does God still use ministering angels today? Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that says God does not still use angels today. The truth of Hebrews was not just for first century Christians, but for all believers. God still sends ministering angels to help and assist those who will inherit salvation. Let's take it a step further. Sometimes we will even encounter angels and not be aware. Consider this verse. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. That's in Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2. So next time you look at the top of your tree and see it has an angel, remember they are on your side. I used to have an angel on the top of our tree, symbolizing the angel that appeared to the shepherds, and loads of stars all around the tree. Now we have one star symbolizing the star that was over Bethlehem and loads of angels. As we move through Christmas and towards the new year, I love the words of Tennyson. Ring out the old, ring in the new, ring happy bells across the snow, or maybe not in Australia. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Hope smiles from the threshold of the year to come, whispering, it will be happier. And the one way to make it happier is on the inside. We can't, we've learnt, change our outside circumstances, but we can change what is going on inside.